Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We'll remind you all that you can weigh in, let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on WKAR AM 870 by following me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR. Like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports or even email me at almartin@wkar.org. Don't be shy. Hit us up. We want to hear what's on your mind. And, of course, you can give us a ring right now. That's right. We're starting calls early today. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We'll talk about anything that's on your mind. And how have you been enjoying the show so far? All of the dedicated listeners of Current Sports out there, we encourage you all to let us know what you like, what you don't like, and post some conversations that you would like to hear discussed right here on the show. Again, tweet me, email me, Facebook me, or call us right here at the station. And just want to remind you all that Current Sports TV launches tomorrow. Man, time flies. Yes, we will tape tomorrow and premiere that episode on September 12th. I will be joined by Spartan Hoop great, now Detroit Pistons TV analyst, Greg Special K Kelser. And folks, you, yes, you can be a part of the show. It will be a live audience that holds 80 people, and it's free. Come on, we all love free stuff, right? And all you have to do is just sign up and show up. Go to WKAR.org to find out how. It only takes 2 minutes, folks. Again, that's tomorrow, 6 p.m., right here in the Comm Arts and Sciences Building, Studio F. You don't want to miss it. Man, Matt, time flies, man. Can you believe this thing is about to kick off tomorrow?
It's insane. If you need somebody to come on and sing, you can look elsewhere because I'm not doing it.
You're not doing it again?
Enough singing.
Come on now. I got to have you at least one time throughout the entire season of the show. I got to have you come on and spread that lovely voice yesterday. That was hilarious, man. If you missed yesterday's show, Matt had to sing yesterday as part of him losing the month of July for our Pick'em Mondays. And he did a pretty good job. I was very impressed. You gave a little southern twang. He sang Christina Aguilera's Genie in a Bottle.
Oh, yeah. My
you
gosh.
Hear that? Oh,
all
that
right,
was
now
great.
Hold on.
Yes.
Now hold on,
that
Aaron.
That was great, Aaron.
Because
hilarious.
We did not play Alex and Mike in subsequent days.
Yes.
I think once was enough for anyone. I think
that's
everyone
hilarious.
Will agree.
You have a beautiful voice.
That's
voice,
an interesting
that's
word for it.
You didn't hear that? That's hilarious. One more time. Just crank it up a little bit, Aaron.
Okay, now. Just. Okay.
Yes. My body's saying let's go. That was hilarious.
My heart's saying no. There you go.
Matt yesterday. He really rocked the mic. Christina Aguilera. Well, see, I don't ever want to lose Pick'em Mondays. I'm taking this to another level seriously now because that's
let me tell you.
I couldn't do it.
Let me tell you. You really don't want to lose.
No, you don't.
I know from experience.
I'm dodging bullets. Yeah, I'm dodging bullets right now. I'm like Neo from the Matrix right now. And right now,
sooner or later, though, Al.
You think so?
It's coming.
I don't think
so. I thought I was going to be like you, too. I coasted through the first month. Easy victory.
That's right.
Thought, okay, there's no way I'm going to get last. And sure
right.
enough.
And it happened.
Dead last.
It happens, man. Hey, that's the way the ball drops sometimes.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we are switching up things a bit on today's show. We are going to kick off the show with our current sports section, giving the good people of Mid-Michigan the latest news in the sports world. Of course, as you just heard, I'm joined by production assistant Matt Lutke as we run down the happenings in sports for you today. Now, in the middle of the show, we'll be joined by Amy Neff, MSU's new assistant coach for the MSU women's golf team. Stay tuned for that interview later. All right, Matt, let's dig right into it, man. Tigers, the Detroit Tigers. Now, former Tiger Avi Sayil Garcia delivered a big blow in the fourth inning, then scored the game-winning run for the Chicago White Sox in the bottom of the 11th to beat the Tigers 4-3 yesterday at U.S. Cellular Field. Now, Garcia hit a two-run triple and went on to score on a throwing error by Tigers second baseman Omar Infante to give the White Sox a 3-1 lead in the fourth inning. Then after the Tigers rallied to tie the game at 3-3 and force extras, Garcia led off the bottom of the 11th with a walk. Former Tiger doing this to the Tigers, man. I tell you, it comes to just bite him in the butt on this one. And Tigers starter Max Scherzer, he had a quality start, but Leland said he was, quote, out of sync, end quote. Scherzer allowed 4 hits, 3 walks, 3 runs, 2 earned over 6 innings and 6 strikeouts. So Scherzer, he extended his streak of at least 5 strikeouts or more to begin the season to 24 games. Now, Miguel Cabrera's home run streak ended at 4 games. He was 0 for 5, couldn't hit anything yesterday, and the Tigers lost their second straight game to the Chicago White Sox, and have lost 4 of their past 5 games overall. Matt, you think this should be alarming for Tigers fans out there?
Kind of, but at the same time, it seems like every other game, at least, they will, you know, have a nice deficit in the ninth inning, come back, tie it up, take it into extras, and then lose. So, you know, it's not right. Like they're getting blown out by everybody. You know, Max Scherzer, for being out of sync, that's a pretty nice stat line.
That's a very nice stat line for being out of sync.
That just speaks to how good he's been all year.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a huge thing. The throwing error was embarrassing.
Yeah,
like that was like a little league level error. It was bad. And when you do things like that, you can't really expect to win. Like
no,
that
you
is
can't.
A mistake that they paid for dearly.
Right.
But I think without that, I think they'll be fine. It's just the ebb and flow of the season.
Right. Exactly. I mean, the season's so long, and you know, you play so many games. I mean, sometimes, some days you just don't have it. And I think right now they're going through a stint right now with they will quickly get out of. And I think this shouldn't be too alarming for Tigers fans out there. And Max, who's been playing unbelievable. I mean, like you said, it's still an incredible stat line that he had last night. But at the same time, you know, if he does have a bad game here or there in the future, I wouldn't be surprised. So, I mean, like I said, that's the flow of the season. That's baseball for you.
Absolutely.
So the Tigers, now they went 1-2 against the Yankees in New York over the weekend and now 0-2 to the White Sox. It is the first time the Tigers have lost back-to-back series since June when they went 0-3 to the Los Angeles Angels at home and 1-2 at the Tampa Bay Rays. So Rick Porcello, he starts Wednesday for Detroit against John Danks, pitching for Chicago. First pitch is right after Current Sports, 2:10 p.m. Definitely check out that one. All right, Meet the Spartans. Yesterday was Meet the Spartans, the annual event that allows the MSU football fans to meet the players and coaches while getting autographs from the team. Now, there was an estimated 7,000 fans. Man, you guys came out in heaps yesterday. Wow, that's great. 7,000 fans there at Spartan Stadium yesterday. Hopefully no Johnny Manziel type flow was going on yesterday. I hope. I'm crossing my fingers. Fans with helmets, hats, and posters, though, they walked in lines all evening for a chance to get an autograph from MSU coach Mark D'Antonio and players and take pictures. Now, the two-hour event allowed more than just autographs, as fans were able to make, you know, to take some sample of food. Food they had to eat there. Sample stadium food. Wow, for free.
Usually you gotta, you know, fork over an arm and a leg for some stadium food.
It's crazy. I think like a beer is like $4 or $5, man. It's crazy stuff.
Steep
stuff. But yeah, so fans got to sample some stadium food, visit the playing field, tour the press box, take photos while wearing a Spartan helmet, shoulder pads, and jersey, and get their chance to be a play-by-play announcer for Spartan Sports Network. So that's certainly a great event. Have you ever been to Meet the Spartans?
I've never been. It sounds amazing.
It does.
But my question to you is if, you know, at Texas A&M's, you know, Meet the Aggies Day, will Johnny Manziel have, like, you know, make your check out here, like, at next to his booth? Or
that
like
is
a,
so true.
Like an ATM machine where you just have to insert dollar bills to get your autograph. It's
with Johnny Football.
That would be the pinnacle of his stupidity this summer
if he did
something like that.
That would. That's an interesting thing. I didn't even thought about, you know, possibly for their media day over there.
Right.
How in the heck is that going to play out?
Yeah. It'll cost you $20.
Right. $20 for me. You know how I get down. I'm Johnny Football, man. Nothing free with me, baby. That's going to be hilarious. All right. News today, Joe Rexroad actually sent this out on the Free Press that the MSU in Michigan game, College Game Day will be here for the that January 25th game. Now, a Michigan-Michigan State night football game is nowhere in the horizon, but MSU and U of M will share college basketball's biggest regular season stage on January 25th. ESPN's College Game Day will be featured at the Breslin Center. That's January 25th for anyone that wants to attend that. MSU announced the game today with the Game Day crew in town on that Saturday. Fans from both teams can get geared up all day during televised pregame activities at the Breslin Center. The game will tip off at 7 p.m. that night, and the Big Ten has yet to release its full schedule for the upcoming season. So we're going to see some maize and blue and green and white in the Breslin Center during that College Game Day broadcast for January 25th. That should be interesting. People bring, like, I hope, hopefully no violence happens, but it is MSU and Michigan.
I mean,
Yeah, I'm pretty sure something's going to go down. You never know. You never know. So
and last year, it was such an impressive environment.
Yeah, it
was. That game was loud.
Crazy. Like, crazy. It was the loudest game I've ever been to.
And I think with game day there, it has the potential to get even crazier. So hopefully we'll win by 35 this year.
Right, I know. Right. Yeah, and it was a blowout. Yeah, Michigan State blew Michigan out that game. And I tell you what, I mean, that game was probably – I've been to a lot of games. That probably was the loudest game I've ever been at. The loudest game, bar none. The atmosphere was crazy. I mean, Brady Hoke showed up, and D'Antonio were shaking hands on the sideline. I mean, it was nuts. It was really nuts. So I'm looking forward to this one as well. So, all right. Now, a national writer has made a pretty bold prediction of concerning the MSU football team. Matt Brown of SportsOnEarth.com, he predicts that no major bowls, as in BCS or playoffs, for MSU in the next 5 seasons. Now, he assessed 10 middle-class programs, chances of a breakthrough, possibly a breakthrough season to try to make a BCS or playoff, and MSU was the first one he touched on. Brown said, quote, Michigan State will continue to play great defense under D'Antonio, and the offense will continue to kick field goals and punt. The Spartans are stuck in a tough situation, soon to be in the same division as Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State when the Big Ten realigns. They'll compete mostly for Outback Bowls, end quote. Now, one school Brown says will make it to a major is Rich Rodriguez's Arizona Wildcats. So, Brown is definitely, he doesn't think MSU will do anything in the next 5 years. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, when I need sports news,
I go right to him.
The first place I check is sportsonearth.com.
That's where I go. That's
first. I've never been there.
Never.
No. But the thing, is it really that bold?
No, I don't think. I was about to say that. I mean, when you look at MSU's, you know, the past seasons with MSU, I mean, the defense has been consistently good.
Right.
Under Narduzzi, that's what you can expect.
Set.
I mean, that's set. But the offense, there's always been a question mark there. And if you look at the team now with Andrew Maxwell and this whole quarterback controversy.
Right.
And the wide receivers with 60-plus passes dropped last season. And you can go look at the season before then. There's never been consistency offensively for MSU. And they haven't been to a big BCS or
exactly.
a playoff.
Even when they win 10 games and share the league title, they're the ones getting left out of the BCS game. So it's not only, you know, the record that they need, which they've done in the past, it's this perception and jumping from a low ranking in the preseason to getting up to that BCS level. I mean, you know, name the break that we haven't gotten to get to a BCS bowl in the last few years, and we've done it. You know,
we've done exactly
the tiebreaker, the Ohio State tattoo gate. Those players being eligible for a bowl game that they shouldn't have been. That should have been us. You know,
it should have been us exactly. We always get the short. MSU always gets the short end of the stick. When it comes to, like I said, even if they do have a good season, we always get the short end of the stick when it comes to the BCF predictions and BCF playoff.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not an out there prediction. I don't know why I saw this in like 3 articles, 3 different sources about this national writer, Matt Brown, and
seems
his prediction about MSU. And I'm like, what's the big deal?
Exactly. And, you know, the whole divisional alignment thing, yeah, it's going to be tough. But how you lump Penn State in there as one of these, you know, the top dogs when they're going to be short on scholarships for the next 3 years.
Exactly.
It seems like they're less likely than we are.
Right.
It just seems like a kind of a lazy article because we've been good on offense. You know, up until last year, they were pretty solid. Like the Kirk Cousins era, that was a solid era of offensive football for MSU.
Right. It definitely was. Right now,
Matthew Brown, we got beef.
Yeah, we definitely got beef, man. I don't know, man. All right. A.D. Lansing School District. Now, I've been constantly, and, you know, we talked about this with Greg Malik, who we had on last week, and yesterday with Ira Childress, the new Okemos High School Athletic Director, and I talked to even Mark Hollis about this. But the Lansing State Journal's Graham Couch, he reports today that union leaders are upset with the Lansing School District for hiring 3 new administrators to handle athletics just months after the union agreed to cut those positions. Now, the union has filed a grievance over the matter. Lansing Schools Education Association President Chuck Albert said teachers agreed to eliminate athletic directors at Eastern High School, Everett High School, and Sexton as part of a 5-year contract that was ratified in March. Now, the AD duties were shifted to the assistant principals. Instead, the district, as of July 15th, they hired new full-time athletic directors who are not a part of the teachers' union. Interesting. Now, it's being reported that two of the three new jobs are interim administrative positions and will be posted as soon as the school year begins and things have settled. Now, the superintendent has, quote, right of assignment, end quote, and can appoint staff on interim administrative positions until such time as the postings are ready. So basically what we have here is that the Lansing School District decided to cut the athletic director positions, as we reported here on the show. But it looks as though some of these schools have gone behind the backs of the administration and have hired athletic director duties. Man, that took me by surprise. Now, I talked to Ira about this yesterday, and it's no surprise. A lot of schools do that, where for funding reasons, for economical reasons, they'll, you know, cut the athletic director position but shift it to the assistant principal. I mean, a lot of schools do that. But here you have a case where, even though Lansing has done that, looks as though some schools have been going behind the backs of the administration in hiring athletic directors. It's getting sticky.
Took them, 4 months to find a loophole?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, jeez. I know. Yeah, just put them down as, not a part of the teachers' union. That's all you got to do. So yeah. I guess, but, you know, it looks like they're being caught. It's going to be interesting to see how this pans out, I tell you that. All right, HGA testing in the NFL. Now, according to a memo released by the NFL Players Association, the NFL was getting closer to testing players for HGH. Now, while the league denies a deal with the NFLPA, which has been reached, the two sides are in the process of putting a protocol in place. According to the memo, a first offense player for any player who tests positive for HGH will bring a four-game suspension. Four-game suspension for a first offense. The NFLPA will allow the league to obtain 40 blood samples for HGH tests each week during that testing. That's according to a tentative agreement. Now, each player will provide a sample during training camp for a population study to determine what levels of HGH will result in penalties. Five players from eight teams will then be randomly selected each week for testing. Now, the memo also states the deal has been tentatively agreed to and will likely be finalized in time for the upcoming season. When I look at this story, I say about time. I don't know.
Yeah.
For me.
Long time coming.
And, you know, one of our callers last week made a comment about the whole biogenesis investigation that's going on in the MLB and saying, why aren't other organizations like the NFL or the NBA and so on, why aren't they cracking down as far as, PEDs or steroid use are concerned? And you see this in the NFL, where guys are consistently getting bigger and bigger, and I'm sure a lot of them are juiced. I mean,
right.
But it doesn't, you know, when you talk about the dynamic between baseball compared to every other sport, baseball kind of gets more spotlight on that, I guess, because of basically the things that PEDs can do once you're at the plate. I mean, you can hit a ball longer, and that can affect the game tremendously. But at the same time, when you look at other sports, a game like football, size also matters tremendously.
Yeah. Definitely.
You know?
And I guess the only reason I would say that baseball gets stressed more is because it's all about history and numbers. And,
yeah, it's America's jewel, too.
HGH and PEDs can skew those so directly in baseball. Because if you can hit a ball farther, maybe you hit it out, that's another home run on your belt. You know, it has a greater influence on statistics, and that is a game that seriously stresses statistics. So
yes, it's so, so true. So, all right, well, we have a lot more topics coming up. We're going to take a quick break and then come right back again. At 1:30, we invite the newest addition to the MSU Women's Golf Coaching Staff, Amy Neff. She'll join us at 1:30. Stay tuned because more current sports, is coming right ahead.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, American utilities are scrambling to slow the growth of solar and other renewable energy sources. Are they wasting their time?
By the end of this decade, wind and solar are going to be the cheapest way to generate power in about 75% of the world, and that includes us. That includes the developed world.
That story next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m.
Hi, I'm WKAR's Emmanuel Berry, host of Current State Weekend. Spend your weekends with me as I highlight current state weekday stories and explore mid-Michigan's vibrant arts and culture scene. We'll cover from the latest at Wharton Center to the diverse individuals that make Michigan's creative sector sing. It's Current State Weekend, Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, as always, Al Martin, joined by my production assistant, Matt Ludke. As we run down Current Sports, we're on the second half of Current Sports right now. Again, at 1:30, we'll be joined by MSU Women's Golf Assistant Coach, the newest hire for the Women's Golf Coaching Staff, Amy Neff. She'll join us at 1:30. Again, you can call us here at the station, and we'll talk about anything that's on your mind, 517-355-9527. All right, the Pistons. The Pistons teased on their Twitter account yesterday afternoon that there could be a new jersey in the rotation for the Pistons next year. Now, a photo of three Greg Monroe jerseys shows a darker blue jersey only revealing the Monroe nameplate. It is surrounded by current road and home jerseys hanging in Monroe's locker room. Now, the tweet also says that fans can find out more about the potential jersey auction tomorrow. And ESPN also produced a summer forecast power rankings in the West and Eastern Conferences. Now, the Pistons were ranked the ninth best team in the East, which would leave them out of the playoff berth. Now, topping the East is the Miami Heat, while the West spotlights the Oklahoma City Thunder. Do you think they're making the playoffs next year?
I think they're going to be in a dogfight for one of those last seeds.
You think so?
The East is really top-heavy. Because you've got, what, Miami,
yep.
Chicago, Indiana, and Brooklyn, I would say.
Yeah, I could see Brooklyn possibly in that. I don't know if they'll get that number one spot because of Miami, but I could see them taking that number two spot in the
Definitely.
East.
Definitely. They're going to fight stacked. For it. And then maybe the Knicks at five, but, you know,
right.
that those last three seeds, whether it's the Wizards or the Pistons or whoever,
right.
they're wide open.
Yeah, they are.
And we have as good a shot as anybody. Of those teams, I think they're going to be right on the door. If they don't make it, a ninth is probably where they're going to finish.
Yeah,
you know, just on the outside looking in. But I think they can make the playoffs.
I think they can too. And I haven't been this excited about a Pistons season in a long, long time. I mean, with the new additions they've made, and you got Jennings is over there now. Chauncey Billups is serving as a mentor to him now over there. You got Rasheed Wallace returning as a coach over there. I mean, Mo Cheeks. I'm really interested to see how his coaching style transfers over to the Pistons now. It's a really interesting team now.
That, for sure.
You know, put
definitely entertaining.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, I think a lot more people are going to be tuning in to watch the Pistons, at least those in the Metro Detroit area. So, in Drummond, the Pistons second year center, Andre Drummond, he has a bright future. I mean, if you watched him play over the years that he's been with the team so far, he's shown some great potential. And the rest of the league is taking notice. Now, in an NBA roundtable on ESPN.com, at least two of five writers polled listed Drummond as the most promising center in the league and the best center in the NBA in 5 years. Now, after a rookie season that was hampered by injuries, Drummond still averaged 13.8 points, 13.2 rebounds, two blocks, a steal, about 36 minutes per game. Now, the sky is the limit for this kid. He's unbelievable. Now, while there is still concern over whether his offensive skill set will blossom, the 20-year-old big man has the rest of the league drooling. So, I definitely, if you look at the NBA right now,
mm-hmm.
the NBA is no longer a big man-driven league. And looking at Drummond, he could definitely, right now, if you look at the competition as far as that the center position is concerned, I mean, some of the big names that really pop out are, you know, Dwight Howard, who's arguably the best center in the league, hands down, I think. I mean, because he simply, there's really no competition out there. You know, I understand the whole stint that he went through in L.A., But when it comes down to it, I mean,
he still led the league in rebounding.
He still led the league. I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, even though that whole stint that he had over there, he mm-hmm. still was productive to a degree, and he had no other center was even close, I think, on that level. Now, maybe you could argue Brook Lopez, but he's inconsistent as well.
Right.
But Andre Drummond, I mean, this is a young kid who can really make some noise down low. I'll tell you that. So I'm really interested to see how that pans out as he matures and blossoms. Now you have Rasheed Wallace over there as a mentor. That's great.
Yeah.
That's
talk great. About, I mean, and Rasheed, guy could shoot the ball.
Yes, he could.
Have him work on those free throws.
Have him work on the free throws, baby.
If he can hit even 65% of his free throws, mm-hmm. like, his game changes dramatically because you can't just automatically foul him. Because right now, it's dreadful. He can't play at the end of games because if he gets fouled, he's about to miss two free throws.
Exactly.
And that's a wasted possession.
And Dwight Howard, I tell you, oof.
Exactly, him too.
Ugly.
It's insane how the big guys can't.
They can't shoot free throws. Can't shoot free. I think my grandmother and I would love to see my grandmother go against Dwight Howard in a free throw shooting contest. That'd be interesting.
Dwight would never do it. He would be
embarrassed.
So
he's
scared. He would never do it.
Hilarious stuff. And then look at Shaq back in the day. Remember Shaq?
Yeah,
like,
even the greats.
Free throws. Oh my gosh. You know, Wilt Chamberlain back in the day used to shoot like underhand.
Granny style.
Like granny style.
Style.
Yeah, granny style. And it would go in a lot for him. Maybe they should try that. I don't know. That's crazy to me. When I, like you said, the big man just can't, the big hands, I don't know. All right, Sloane Stephens, she upset Maria Sharapova. Maria Sharapova's return to the WTA tournament play after more than a month away was short-lived. She was upset by 17th-ranked American Sloane Stephens, 2-6, 7-6, and 6-3 in the second round of the Western and Southern Open on Tuesday. Now, Sharapova said, quote, "You know, I stopped being patient. I started making a lot more errors, especially off the first ball, just errors that I shouldn't have made. Obviously, I haven't played in a long time, but I can't make that excuse for myself because I've got to be ready from the first match. So it's obviously disappointing, but that's the way it goes in this game." Now, in a match that lasted 2 hours and 22 minutes, Stephens overcame losing the first set and the first two games of the second in double faults on two match points for the win. It's her first victory over Sharapova in four meetings. So Sloane Stephens, I think she's young and has a bright future, I think.
Yeah, she's one of the rising stars of women's tennis.
How old is she? Aaron, can you check and see how old she is for us really quick? I'm wondering how old she is, because I think is she 19? Is she that young?
I feel like she's either 19 or 20.
She's really young.
In tennis, that's like ancient already. Like,
yeah, that's
year
true.
Old news. You got to be like 14 and a prodigy, and you're the one that everybody's like the next big thing.
Right. That's very true. So Aaron just told me she's 20 years old. 20. So, but man, I tell you what, and then you know the whole stint between her and the whole feud, I should say, between her and Serena Williams was pretty interesting. But she's making some noise. She just beat Maria Sharapova. So we'll see how far she gets in this thing. So, all right, now RG3. Trouble in Redskins paradise. A day after quarterback Robert Griffin III made remarks about coach Mike Shanahan's restrictive practice plan, he made more statements clarifying his stance, emphasizing that there is just no conflict between him and his coach. He says, quote, "Just want everybody to know there if there's any question about if there's a rift between me and coach or if there's a conflict, there is no conflict. Coaches, coach. I'm a player. Coaches have a plan. Coach has a plan, and I'm abiding by that plan. I'm doing everything the coaches are asking me to do. I trust those guys. They want me to have a long career, and that's part of this plan." So he's kind of just shrugging it off. Now, Griffin, who tore his ACL at the end of last season, has been limited to 707 drills and will likely be held out of all preseason games, though he's publicly lobbied for more playing time and said his knee is, quote, "dang near 100%, end quote. Now, Shanahan, who has experience coaching top-level quarterbacks, downplayed the comments and compared the recent disagreements with him and his most well-known signal caller. He said, quote, "Me and John Elway used to have a knockdown, drag-out fights all the time, and that's part of being a competitor. And that's another reason you have great relationships with your quarterback." So he compared it to him and Elway. What do you think about that whole situation between Shanahan and...
Well, it just seems like, you know, players want to play. RG3 obviously wants to play, but Mike Shanahan would have to be a big idiot to put him in the preseason. Why would you risk it?
Yeah.
Especially after what you did last year when you basically rode him into the ground. Right. You know, why risk it in a game that doesn't matter? I understand where both of them are coming from, but I think you have to err on the side of caution when it's your franchise quarterback who you traded like 20 draft picks for. Basically right. Put all the chips in your franchise on him. Why risk it? It doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. And I think, you know, looking from an athlete standpoint with Robert Griffin III, I mean, he's such a competitive guy. And as a player, that kind of just clouds your judgment, and you can't really put yourself in the shoes of your coach or the administration of that team, because you want to go out there and play. You love the game that much. You want to be there with your teammates, developing that chemistry in training camp. And if you can't do it, I mean, it can be frustrating. So you have to tread lightly. Tread lightly.
Nice.
Tread lightly, my friend. And, you know, we'll see what happens, though. All right. Well, when we return to Current Sports, we will invite the newest addition to the MSU Women's Golf Coaching Staff, Amy Neff. Yes, that's right around the corner. Don't go anywhere. More Current Sports is coming right ahead.
Just about everything we wear, eat, or consume is transported in huge containers on enormous ships. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with journalist Rose George about an invisible and sometimes exploitative part of the shipping world. And Grayson Schaefer tells us about the Sherpas on Mount Everest who risk injury or death helping people climb. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
You count on All Things Considered for many reasons. The biggest stories of the day, from around the world to your own backyard. The thoughtful commentaries, the insightful features, or all of the above. All Things Considered has been your trusted source for news every afternoon. I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered, and glad to be a part of this show. I'll see you at 4 this afternoon.
Hey, good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, we now invite a guest to Current Sports who is a native of Indiana and is only one of three Spartans to earn all Big Ten honors 4 times, including first team accolades as a senior in 2011 as she helped MSU to its 9th Big Ten championship. Now, she ranks 5th all-time in Spartan history with a 76.10 scoring average. It's my pleasure to welcome Amy Neff to Current Sports. How you doing, Amy?
I'm doing great. I couldn't be happier to be on the show, so thanks for having me.
No problem. We're glad to have you. Now, Amy, did you ever see yourself coaching at any capacity when it comes to the game of golf when you were playing at MSU?
I did. I mean, I've always had a heart for coaching. Obviously, I love college athletics. I love sports. I was grateful for my time that I was able to play professionally, but I did know that one day I wanted to get back into the field of coaching. So I'm very grateful that this opportunity came up, and I couldn't have chosen a better school to be back at other than my alma mater.
So when you were playing, that thought was nothing new then. When did it first enter your mind that said, hey, I might want to try coaching in the future?
When did it first enter my mind?
Yeah.
Well, I think growing up, coaches have always had a big impact on my life. So actually, when I was growing up, I played basketball, soccer, golf. And I loved basketball. When you're from Indiana, that's kind of got to be your first love.
Right.
So I wanted to be a basketball coach when I grew up. And then obviously, as the years passed on and I was getting more and more serious about golf, I think coaching is just something where I've had some great coaches who have had a great impact on my life. And so I just kind of saw that as an area of influence and being able to help and grow and develop people and players. And so I think the seed was planted early on for my, you know, young 10, 11 years of age. I wanted to be a coach anyways in some capacity. I didn't know it was going to take me into golf, but I couldn't be happier to be where I am now.
Right, right. Now talk about, Amy, how the job came about. Now I know that your predecessor, she was hired as the head coach over at Tulane University, right?
Yes, yeah, Morin Don, actually, he was the assistant coach here at Michigan State for 10 years.
Right.
So I honestly thought, he's pretty set in stone. I don't think he's going anywhere. So I really didn't think it was going to come about. And, you know, then soon enough, I talked to Coach Stacy, who is my coach here, who's entering, I think, into her 17th year as the head coach. And she told me that Lauren was taking the head coaching job at Tulane. The job was going to be open. So, and I was just excited about the opportunity and still had to go through the process. I know that they had a lot of great candidates come through. And but yes, I was just surprised, but also, you know, excited about the possibility. And then when everything worked out, I was just thrilled.
That is great. Now, Amy, your career at MSU was pretty good, as I stated at the top of the during the intro. Now, after your time at MSU, you went on to play professionally on the Symetra Tour. Now, talk about that experience during those 3 years.
Yes. Yes, it was an awesome time. I was able to play on the Symetra Tour. I qualified for the U.S. Women's Open last year in Kohler, Wisconsin in 2012. Then this past, most recently, in January and February of 2013, I went and played on the Australian Tour and in New Zealand. So I think I was able to, you know, meet people from around the world in women's golf, get to travel a bit and see what it's like to play at that next level. So I think that definitely assists in my coaching as far as being able to communicate to the girls. I know what it's going to look like as far as the traveling. You become your own business and you're kind of, you know, just running your time schedule, booking things, getting a hold of things. But it was definitely a period where, you know, there's a lot of pressure when golf is your paycheck to be performing all the time. And I think, though, you learn to handle the pressure and just kind of going through the process anyways of just learning what that takes, I think is a good thing that will only help me to be able to communicate and talk to the girls on the team and better understand where their aspirations are. And hopefully I can help them achieve those.
That is so true. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with the new MSU Women's Golf Assistant Coach, Amy Neff. Now, Amy, talk about your head coach when you were playing, and she's, of course, the head coach still now, Stacy Slobodnik-Stoll, and her influence on your game, and I'm assuming a big part of why you wanted to get into coaching, right?
Right. No, definitely. She does a fabulous job. Like we said, the last 10 years, Michigan State has not finished outside the top three at Big Ten. You know, they've made it to NCAA regionals, I think, for 16 years in a row. It's been a top 25 program for over a decade. And she just does things, and she, you know, she talks about how she's recruiting on, you know, it's going to be character, grades, and then talent. And so just finding people that are going to be Spartans that we think are going to fit the mold here. Mm-hmm. I think she does a really good job as far as bringing people in that have the heart and desire to go to Michigan State, to have the work ethic. I think she does an awesome job as far as setting up, you know, our tournament schedule. Michigan State has a fabulous schedule. We get to compete against the best teams in the nation, which is the best way to equip you to play after college, because really professional golf is just an extension of the best college players.
Right.
And that is one of the best things. I think she just really did a good job as far as like structuring everything with the team, just discipline, practices, workouts, the whole nine yards. She was a great communicator and just knew how to run things well. And obviously she became a head coach when she was 24, and
yeah,
she's had to build the program essentially. I mean, Mary Fossum did a great job before, but she's really kind of built the program to where it is today, and it's really taken off.
Definitely. Now, how's the chemistry between you guys? I'm assuming it's got to be great.
Yes. No, we get along well. Ever since I committed to Michigan State my junior year of high school, I've talked to her, you know, every month, and we've stayed in touch even over the last couple of years. And I think we both are highly motivated people, and we're both, you know, all about organizing and all about Michigan State. And we just have a passion to help young women golfers become the best, not only the best golfers they can be, but also the best people they can be, which we hope to be, you know, Spartans for, you know, once you're a Spartan, it's not just a one time, it's a forever thing. You're part of the Spartan family.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we definitely get along well and see eye to eye on a lot of things.
So true. Now, Amy, you guys begin your season, I believe, next month, right?
Yes, next month.
Yeah.
A month away exactly on, I think, September 14th and 15th.
Yeah.
Here in East Lansing. That's for the Mary Fossum at West Acres.
Yeah. How's the team looking so far?
It's going to be a good year. They are looking really good. We have a lot of girls that are going to be gunning for spots. Obviously, we only five girls can play in the tournament. We have 15 girls on the team, and we have three seniors this year who are all just fierce competitors. And then we have a couple incoming freshmen. We got some sophomore and juniors. So it's definitely going to be a really competitive team, and I think this could be one of Michigan State's best years, and that's saying a lot since they just finished in the top 10 last year at Nationals. So I think they could, you know, only progress upward from there, which is saying a lot, but I really do believe this team coming back is going to be a good one.
Now, Amy, for you, coming to this new position as the new MSU Women's Golf Assistant Coaching position, what are the goals for you? How are you trying to make this transition into coaching and trying to learn a different team, a new team, if you will?
Right. Well, a lot of it is I'm a learner. You know, I got to ask a lot of questions. I need to be able to know what coach's expectations are for me, what Coach Stacy, what she wants me to do, and a lot of things is just kind of going to be rapport with her, and then getting to know the players, even though I do know a couple of them, I think it's just going to be building those relationships. And so I think for me as an assistant coach here, the biggest thing is just going to be relationally getting to know these girls on a team well and knowing their strengths and their weaknesses and being able to work with them as players and as people to know what things impact them. And that'll definitely, I think, be the biggest challenge is just spending time with them. I mean, I say challenge, but I'm looking forward to that. The biggest thing is just getting to know them anyways and their games and being well familiar with their style of play.
Right, right. Now, Amy, over the years, I want to go to a different aspect now when it concerns the game of golf. Now, I was doing some research, and it's pretty obvious now that the popularity of women's golf has been on a steady increase over the years, year by year. I just want to get your opinion on this. Why do you think that is so?
Well, I think that, you know, ever since Title IX, about 40 years ago, I think women's golf has continued to be on the rise, and it's a global game, and, I think we all, whatever country we are from, we want to have the best sports team from that country. And so I think the great thing is that since golf is such a global game and there's so many people who are playing, it's going to be in the 2016 Olympics. It's just a really exploding game, and it's, again, it goes back to me, those relationships, and golf is a game that you can take with you forever. You can play it all your life. It flows into whether you play professionally or just in a business. Or whatever it is, it's so versatile and it comes in handy in a lot of ways. But I think women's golf has grown a lot too, just as women's sports, you know, there's just more and more female athletes, and mm-hmm. hopefully that is just something that we continue to give women the opportunity to play at a high level, and that, you know, obviously I think everything has just grown up a lot because men's sports has been around a lot longer, but women's sports is a lot newer in some senses. And so anyways, I think there's just that desire and that growth has just continued to rise, you know, in the last 20 years especially. The game, I'm just seeing kids now who are 14 and 15, and they seem like they were a lot better than when I was 14 and 15. So the right. game is definitely progressing a lot, and, you know, there's so much. There's technology that's advancing. There's just more knowledge. You know, I think it helps when people are competitors and they play other sports. But at the same time, you know, people are becoming more and more at an early age, like, one sport-minded, which is good and bad. It has its pros and cons. Mm-hmm. But all that to say, I just think that Title IX was huge, and then women's golf in general, it's growing in popularity because so many men today are seeing, oh, wow, these girls can really play. And so that's a great thing for us to see, that men also are like, wow, these girls are good, which is encouraging.
Definitely. So true. Now, Amy, you talked about those 14 and 15-year-olds who I'm sure don't have a better game than Amy Neff. Come on, let's be real now. Let's be real here now. When did you, Amy, start playing the game of golf and become hooked on it?
Well, I started playing the game when I was 10, but I honestly wouldn't tell you I was hooked on it until I was about 15 when I switched to, I kind of got by on athleticism for a while, but I was playing other sports. I had my first real coach when I was 15. His name was John Dunham from the Indianapolis area, mm-hmm. and he really got me hooked on golf. And just, you know, I think it always becomes more fun when you're good at something. So I think the better I got, the more I enjoyed it. And I mean, I love competition. I love competing. And I was just grateful that, you know, I have a hard wiring where I love sports.
That is so true. Now, Amy, before I let you go, for those out there who want to follow the team, how can they do so?
Oh, we got lots of things. Well, we have Twitter, so you can check out MSU Women's Golf Online. We have the online website for MSU Spartans. You can check that out. And then during the season, we'll have Golf Stat as well, which is a college. They keep track of all the college tournaments, and they'll do live scoring, like every three holes and updates. So I'd say the best way to get connected would just be to go to MSU Spartans, click on the women's golf page, and that'll get you connected with the Twitter feed and with the live tournament updates, and also just give you news and postings on everything that's going on with the women's golf team.
That is great. And also, Amy, who is your, like, the golfer you looked up to when you first started playing?
When I first started playing, you know what?
Or even now, I would say.
Well, even now, I think for the women's side, even though there's been so many great players, but I mean, obviously, Lorena Ochoa was someone who, she didn't have a really long career, but she just handled herself in such a way that she had really just a lot of integrity and was obviously number one player and just treated others well. And she worked hard and she was really successful. So I think all those things, again, kind of going back to like the character aspect, she was a big person I just respected a lot because of the way that she handled herself and treated, you know, all the fans and everyone. So Lorena Ochoa was someone who I definitely liked a lot growing up. On the men's side, I really like Zach Johnson for those same reasons.
Zach Johnson,
course,
nice.
When I first started, I really liked Tiger Woods because how could you not? He was, you know, when I was 10, everything was Nike. I'm pretty
right.
sure that's why I was hooked on Nike, and I'm glad Michigan State's a Nike school for that.
Yeah.
So obviously, he's always a thrill, and he's good for the game as well.
Did you stop liking Tiger with the whole situation he got in?
I I don't actually know that I stopped liking him then. I still like him as a golfer. Obviously,
nice.
Maybe personal life, that's not someone I'm going to look up to as much. But he's a phenomenal golfer. And, yeah, he's done great things. I think he got so good, like, 5 years ago that I actually started to cheer for other people to win because he was just so dominant.
Just too dominant, yeah. Right.
But I still like to see him in the hunt because it makes, you know, everyone more interested in how could he not be when he's accomplished what he's accomplished. He's awesome.
Right. So true. All right. Well, there you have it. New MSU Women's Golf Assistant Coach, Amy Neff. Amy, thanks so much for joining me right here on Current Sports.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. All right. Well, it's Barbershop Wednesday, and we have a special one for you.
All right. I've been thinking about this a lot. And I think our league is lacking something.
A giant.
No, guys, trust. Every league gets to this point where we've cheated each other so many times over the years, we don't trust each other enough to make a simple trade. We've crossed the distrust horizon into the land of no trades.
Gee, I wonder who's responsible for that.
You are the patient zero of distrust, Pete.
Okay, I admit it. But it's time for us to clear the air, get a little honesty going, okay?
Okay. What happened in my apartment during the draft?
Nothing.
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 Did you guys cheat picking the draft order?
No.
No.
No. No.
No.
Nope. Okay, good. Now that we're all being honest, I would like to show you something.
Ooh.
Ooh. Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Look at you.
As you can all see, all of our teams suck. Some of the lineups aren't even legal. So in honor of Sukkot, I would like to propose to you what I call the eight-way trade.
Wait, an eight-way? But Andre's sister's not even here.
Andre's sister? Shotgun last.
And I think I've come up with a plan that everyone will be happy with if we just do this. Okay, Andre, you're in need of a good defense. You got like four tight ends. I have four defenses and no tight ends. Kevin, three quarterbacks. That could help out Taco. And the thing is, you got to start getting rid of some of these kickers.
I like kickers. They're the toughest.
Jenny, you might need more at wide receiver than just Michael Crabtree. Ruxin, if you could let go of one or two of your wide receivers.
I'm not letting go of anyone good.
Package two wide receivers with the Baltimore defense and trade it for MJD.
I like Maurice Jones-Drew.
I know you do.
Hey, what about me?
I haven't forgotten about you, Kevin.
It's good.
It's like a useless Goodwill hunting.
It's still not fair.
Just wait. Hold on.
You just got a great kicker.
One more move, and it's done. Do we have a deal?
Yeah.
Looks
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
good to me.
Sukkot Pack 2011. All in?
All in.
All in. All in.
Yeah, I'm in.
Thank you.
I tell you, you got to love that clip. That's from the league where a bunch of guys, you just come together and they just they take this thing serious, man. Like fantasy football, which I do too, but not as serious as the, you know, of course it's TV, but man, they really take it serious on that show. Hilarious show. If you haven't seen the league, you got to check it out. Yeah, we're talking fantasy football today. First off, I gotta ask you, Matt, because I would constantly get into arguments with Kevin Gale, my former fellow colleague at Channel 6, and we would argue all the time about whether or not fantasy football is a waste of our time. What do you think about that?
I don't think it's a waste of our time at all.
I think
it enhances your interest in games that normally you wouldn't really care about.
Yeah.
You know, like let's say Denver's playing San Diego. As a Lions fan, it doesn't really mean that much to me.
No,
but
not
if
at all.
I am really counting on Wes Welker to come through with, you know, 15 points in my fantasy league, I'm gonna be glued to the TV for 3 hours that normally I would be, you know, maybe seeing the sun or doing something outside. I don't know, but
it
just keeps me more focused on football. And really, what's wrong with that? Nothing.
Nothing's wrong with that. And that's what I would argue with Kevin. I don't know, maybe because the reason that Kevin gave me was because, and the reason that my cousin gave me as well, because my cousin, his opinion is kind of screwed because he is a guy that has been playing fantasy football for so long and has
never won.
He's just terrible. He's just terrible at it. Like, he's the worst fantasy football
might
player
be
ever.
A waste of his time then.
Right. It might be a waste of his time.
Okay.
Exactly. So, but a lot of people just feel as though, like, people don't get the true essence of football because you're not looking at the game. You're looking at just your player who's out there and just trying to get points for you. So, but I look at that. I mean, that's just that enhances the interest for football because, like you said, you start to care about a game because you have something to care about,
exactly.
If you will, you know?
It's like a safer version of gambling.
Right, it is, yeah.
Like, I care about this game, but not so much that if they lose, I'm going to, like, lose my house on it or something. It's like, oh, I might lose in fantasy football this week.
In fantasy football this week, right.
It's like low stakes.
You just lose one matchup.
Exactly.
Know?
It's
so,
one thing, yeah.
I love it. I tell you what, I'm the champion of my league. Finally won. It took me 3 years. But I finally did it with my team, the Eliminators.
Nice.
Holla at me. You like that?
I do like that.
Tap, man. What's your fantasy football name?
Oh, it varies.
It varies. You got like 20 of them.
Yeah, like last year, I won one league and finished second in the other, and I think the one I won, I was the team who knocks, and I had a picture of Walter White as my logo. And I enjoyed it.
I like that.
And I rode it to victory.
And
so
you rode it to victory.
Might re-up this year. Who knows?
Hey, we'll see. Only time will tell, man. But I'll tell you what. My league, they still haven't paid me. It's terrible.
That's the problem.
I play with players who do not pay up. At the end. I'm still waiting on my moolah. We were all supposed to tip in $20. I'm still waiting, guys. You guys hear me right now, all right? I'm still waiting on my money. All right. Well, let's break it down. I got to ask your opinion on this too, Mike. Matt, when you look at fantasy football, do you draft a quarterback first, or do you draft a running back first, or do you draft another position first? What is your strategy?
Well, I guess it depends on the league, and that's the problem with fantasy football when people tell stories about, oh, my fantasy league, I need such and such to happen, because every league is different and the scoring's always different, but I feel like this season you got to go with a running back first.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a little research. ESPN's top 25 players from last season in terms of the points they produced, 17 were quarterbacks, 8 were running backs.
Wow.
So
17 were quarterbacks.
You have plenty to choose from.
Yeah, you do.
You know, most people play in a 10-person, maybe 12 at the most,
right.
I feel like. So, you know, you don't need a quarterback in the first round because there's going to be ones later that are, you know, comparable.
They'll be sitting there.
You know, there's very few running backs who are, you know, the number one guy, the feature back that's kind of gone by the wayside in the NFL recently.
Right.
So I feel like it's more important to snatch one of those guys up early instead of waiting on a quarterback.
Right. Totally agree with you. And if you look at this season, for those out there who want to kind of take notes and kind of who, if any of you have even started thinking about fantasy football yet, I haven't until today. If you look at the running back position right now, you got Adrian, it's the top 10 according to NFL.com. You got Adrian Peterson at number 1, Arian Foster 2, Marshawn Lynch is 3, LeSean McCoy 4, Jamaal Charles 5, Doug Martin 6, CJ Spiller 7, Ray Rice 8, Trent Richardson 9, and Alfred Morris 10. So I totally agree with you. When you look at that pool right there and you compare it to the quarterback position, there are tons of quarterbacks.
They're everywhere.
There's so many. I mean, there's up to about 20 that are solid. That could be. I even go past that. I mean, looking at the rankings now, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger right now is ranked 21 as far as fantasy goes. And Ben, I think, is a solid quarterback for fantasy football. So, I mean, you could, like I said, there's so many quarterbacks out there that I think you can pass on a quarterback and draft a running back. If you have a top seeded pick, or even just not even that, if you're even at first round thinking about what position to draft first. So last season, I believe I drafted a quarterback first, though. I believe I had Tom Brady.
Okay.
Which worked.
Can't
out.
Really go wrong.
You can't go wrong with Tom Brady, and I had like the third pick in the draft or something like that. So, but Adrian Peterson, of course, he had a monstrous season. So yeah, I think that's very good advice when you talk about that first round, if you will. But I tell you what, fantasy football is such a it's a $1 billion industry now. And I had
absolutely
idea. Unbelievable.
It's huge, and it's not just football too. It's baseball, basketball, hockey.
Right.
People love fantasy hockey.
Yeah. Fantasy hockey?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea. I've never even thought. If you compare, if you talk about this dynamic between a fantasy basketball or fantasy baseball, I just think that's just too much. You know, especially with baseball.
Fantasy baseball, we might have to revisit the question, is it a waste of your time?
That is a waste of your time.
It is. Yeah, I can't do it either.
Without a doubt. Fantasy football, yes. Fantasy football is a weekly thing. You only have to adjust your lineup a few times. It's one day a week. Sunday comes, boom.
Exactly.
You're good. It's not baseball. I mean, baseball, they play 100 and something games, 180 games or something like that. It's unbelievable.
And you have to be ready for every one.
Right,
if your pitcher goes down in the first inning or he's hurt before the game, you better be checking that waiver wire trying to pick somebody else up. It just seems like that is something you have to constantly monitor. It's like having a kid.
Yeah.
You just got to keep an eye on your fantasy baseball team.
Right.
Sorry,
exactly.
I can't go out tonight, guys. My fantasy baseball team really needs my help.
That's so true. You can get so consumed with it. Have you played fantasy baseball before?
I have.
Oh, my goodness. How'd you do?
Oh, well.
Not good.
I actually won.
Get out of here.
Wow. I lost interest about June.
Right.
Was in last place. Still had Albert Pujols, though.
Okay.
It was a few years ago when Albert Pujols was just a machine.
Just the man.
Lost interest in June. picked it back up in about August, made the playoffs on the last day in a tiebreaker, lowest seed, ran through the playoffs, won the whole thing.
Get out of here. How many players were in the
draft? It was my proudest fantasy sports moment.
That has to be. Anytime you talk about winning fantasy baseball.
Baseball.
How many people were in your league?
8 or 10. I'm not 100%
sure. Wow, that's
sure.
A solid league, too.
Oh, yeah, and they were all way more interested in baseball than I was. I was kind of that guy that they were like, oh, we need one more. And then, of course I end up winning the whole thing. But I would never play again. Even winning, not worth it.
Not even worth
it. Skip it.
Was it a money league? Did you get some moolah off it?
It was for a bunch of high schoolers, it was a money league. So there was, $5 changing hands.
There you go.
That's nothing major.
Nothing major. Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, Leah, when you're talking about other sports, I mean, I can't imagine playing fantasy baseball. I did try playing fantasy basketball, and that can be hectic as well because they play just about every other day and you got to change your lineup.
It's draining.
It's draining,
man. It's a
long
season.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So for all of you fantasy freaks out there, again, get your lineups ready. We're not fantasy football experts, but, I looked up this morning, actually, on Mike and Mike or ESPN. They were talking about fantasy football. I think it was 2 days ago, actually. And they were saying as well that the quarterbacks are loaded. Draft a running back in the first round. That would be my advice.
Yeah,
we'll see.
And as far as fantasy football experts go, anyone can be a fantasy. Like Matthew Berry for ESPN wrote Crocodile Dundee 3.
Did
and
he?
I am not joking.
Really?
Yes.
He wrote the movie.
So let's say you're in a really bad spot in your career. Like, for instance, you just wrote Crocodile Dundee 3.
Right.
Just start from scratch and become a fantasy football expert.
Boom. $1 billion industry. Why
There's
not?
No prerequisites for that job.
Not at all. You just gotta do a lot of research.
Yeah.
You gotta do a lot of research.
Just dive right in.
I swear. I tell you, it's fun stuff though. But all right. Whoa, what a show we had, man. We started top of the hour with a lot of sports topics. Then we invited Amy Neff, the MSU women's golf assistant coach. She just got hired. Great things from her, I'm sure, this upcoming season. And folks, a lot of good things coming from Current Sports, the TV show. Again, if you want to be a part of the audience, go to WKAR.org. The first taping of Current Sports TV is tomorrow, 6 p.m. Show up, Studio F, right here at the Comm Arts and Sciences Building on Michigan State's campus. Greg Kelser, Special K, will be our guest. It should be a fun time. And, man, football's right around the corner. We're going to be start covering high school football, MSU football right around the corner. It's going to start getting really busy.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
It's just a slippery slope all the way to basketball season.
All the way. I can't wait for
football's going to fly by.
It is. It is going to fly by. I tell you what. Man, we got some jazz going. My man, Aaron. Aaron's always rocking it. I tell you, we got some smooth jazz to send you out to. Well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, production assistants. Intern Mike Corey, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKR. Thanks to the new MSU women's golf assistant coach Amy Neff for joining us. She was great. Same time, same place tomorrow. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Hey, take care and be easy, people. Enjoy some jazz.